The top of the Zayin of an Aleph brings a story. The end of the third line, Gufav, Mei Rabbi Yosef ben Horkanas, he tirutzar sabas la'achin, a very, very fascinating historical story. I'm sure someone's a historian of, you know, the time of Chazal will make a lot of this. There's a rumor, they were matur tzaris erva to do yibul, like Meshamei, they were kashal ha'chacham, they shechacham, they all heard of Dosim and Hercules was macho like Yeshamai. So they're difficult because he was a Chacham. He was a Chacham Gadol. The end of coming love of Beis Medrash, and his eyes were not good anymore, so he couldn't come to Beis Medrash. Amru miyelech veYodio. So they said, who's going to go and tell him that? That he's wrong. That we outvote him. Amalim Rabbi Shua and Yelech v'Achar of me Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah v'Achar of me Rabbi Akiva. So they all went, and this is obviously a delicate situation. Holch v'Yomlo Pesach Beisom Nechtsach of Chasor Amarlo Rabbi Chach Meisrael Ba and Etzcha Shifcha told him they were in his waiting room. Amarlo Yikansu v'Nechtsu Tavtol Rabbi Shua v'Oshiveu Al Mita Shel Zav. So he took Rabbi Shua and put him on a mita shel zahav, a golden couch. Amrli Rabbi, Amrli Talmid Ha'achav Yashav. He couldn't see how many people there were, so Rabbi Shua told him, Rabbi, there's another Talmud here. Let him sit also. Amrli Mihu, Rabbi Lezman Azariah, Rabbi Lezman Azariah. Amrli Yishlo Ben Lazariah Chavarenu, Karol of Mikrazah, Nari Zikam 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 Zikam. I guess Azariah didn't have kids, and this was news for him, that there was a Rabbi Lezman Ben Azariah. So he says, then now I see that the Tzadikim, Hashem takes care of the Tzadikim in the end and gave him a son who's a God of Yisrael. Tafsa was Shiol Mito Shel Zav. Amrloi, Rabbi Amrloi Talmid Ha'akriyesh, he says, there's one more Talmud here. Invite him to sit down. Also, Amrloi, Mihu Akiv Ben Yosef, Amrlato, Akiv Ben Yosef, Shimcha Holech, Misof Ha'olam Yad Sofo, famous for Akiv Ben Yosef, Shev Bni Shev, Kimoscha Yerbu Yisrael. All right, so that was the pleasantries. Eschil Masabon Sof Ha'olachos, they were very nizer in his covenant, apparently. He was a very chashav person, even compared to these three very chashav people. So they started tangentially discussing other halachos. Actually, Gil Tzar Sabas. Don't they tangentially happen to get the Tzar Sabas? Amrli Tzar Sabas Mahu. Amr Lemachlok, Svesham Veselo. So they asked him, Halach Gidivri Mi, Amr Lemachlok, Veselo. And the whole thing was a false rumor. Amr Lay, now they were relieved. They said to him, Halami Shimcha, Amr Lemachlok, Veshamai. So Amr Lem, Dosa Shemad, Mehurkin Shematim. Did they say Dosa Ben Horkinas? Amr Lay, Chai Rebbe Stam Shemani. Right? They swore to him, really, they heard Stam Ben Horkinas. They just assumed it was him because he was a Gadol. Amr Lem, Ach Katan Yishli. No, that's my little brother, Bechor Satan. It's not so clear what a Bechor. What a Bechor Satan is, the, and not our Indian right now, but the, if he's an Achkatan, Satan, we understand. He was obviously a very mischievous fellow, but if he's an Achkatan, how could he be a, how could he be a Bechor? So, okay. So Rashi implies maybe that's just a phrase, Bechor Satan. Some people say it was Bechor Satan, but let's assume it's a phrase Bechor Satan, even though he wasn't Bechor. So he's a Bechor Satan, he's mistress for Yonatan Shemo, whom he told me to Shammai. He said, yeah, that was my brother, don't worry, it was just my brother, you don't have to worry about him. The only problem is, you don't have to worry about him being right, but he's a better debater than all you guys. He's wrong, but he's more clever than you are, and he'll prove himself right, if you like, give him a chance, meaning he won't really. But in the spur of the moment, you know, some people are very clever and they're really wrong when you go home and think about it for a week. But in the spur of the moment, they'll win the debate. So, Vizarish loikapechetzchem bahalachos, lefishish moshalosh meis chuvas psaris abas, shimu teres. Aval, even though my brother is 300 tainas, how do I know they're not right? Me'el ni'olai shemayim ba'aretz, shalmadu chazo yoshev chaga and avi. He never saw it. It's just, this is a masorah he had. That right here, Sat Chag Yenavi, Omer Shlul Shetzvarim, gave us three Masoras, Tzoras Abbas Asura, Amenemo, Maish Maishar, Ani Beshvias, Makabal Ger, Minakarduyim, Minha Tarmudyim. Okay, the end of the story is Tanak, Shenichtu, Nichtu, Pesach Echad, Sheyatsu, Yatsu, Visholos, Psachim. They left in three different doorways, so that, not so clear, there are 2 days in Tosfos. Either because if this Yonatan guy was around, they wanted to find him, and, you know, and test his mettle. Or, the more interesting day in Tosfos is, because they were afraid of this Yonatan fellow, so they figure, well, he can only meet one of us, and if he beats one of us, then it'll be no big deal, he bet one of us. You know, he beat one of us. They didn't want all three of them to beat him, so then they were afraid he would win, and then everyone would listen to him. Interesting, we really see from this Gemara, that just because you can win a debate doesn't prove that you're right. And they, you know, they were afraid of engaging in debates. They knew they would lose, even though they knew they were right. Sometimes a guy can be a good debater. Anyway, so it happens, in fact, they did find him. Pugabo Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva found him. Akshi Leifa Okme, and he asked Rehi Akashas and stumped him. Amr Lato, Akiva Shim Chaholk, Misofa Olamat Sofo. You're the famous Rabbi Akiva, Ashrech Shechis L'Shem. Lucky for you, you have a fame of being the God of the door, but Dain Loi Gata L'Rei Bakar. And you're not even on the Madrega of cowherds. Amr Lo, Rabbi Akiva, Filu Le Roein Tzon. Akiva said to him, Roi Bakar. I'm not even in the Madriga of Roy Tzon. The okay, so that's the story. And that's sort of the end of the sugya of Tzar Sabas, a nice story that ends the sugya. Now, they point out there were three Masorah there from Chagai and Navi, and they go on a tangent. One of the Masorahs is our sugya. They go on a tangent of the other two Masorahs, and one of the Masorahs we'll deal with today. Next one, the third one we'll deal with next time. The Masorah was that an Amunumov is what we call nowadays Transjordan, or nowadays we just call it Jordan, for short. Meisr Ani Bashvias, right? They normally, we all know the Shemitah cycle, right? Years 1 and 2, we do Meisr Rishon and Meisr Sheni. Year 3, we do Meisr Rishon and Meisr Ani. 4 and 5 is back to Meisr Sheni. 6 is Meisr Ani, and 7 is nothing because it's Shemitah and everything's Hefker. And the whole lumbus, not for now. Is everything putter? Is there no Meisers in Shemitah because it's Hefker? Is there no Meisers in Shemitah because it's Shemitah? But in any case, there's no Meisers. But what about places that don't keep Shemitah, but do keep Meisers? Why would any place not keep Shemitah, but keep Meisers? Doesn't seem to make any sense. The answer is Midrabanan. Midrabanan, there are Gozer Meisers in many places, right? A lot of people think nowadays, people who... Well, really, everyone nowadays thinks there's no Trumas or Maestros in Chutz Laaretz. Why is that? Because we all grew up in America. But really, there were Gozer Trumas or Maestros in Chutz Laaretz. In the Middle East, there's a Gzeirah D'Rabbanan of Trumas or Maestros. We don't know about it now because, you know, we didn't come from the Middle East. And even people's ancestors came from the Middle East. Their Jews weren't much of farmers in the Middle East. Like, people's ancestors lived in Syria and Egypt, the Jews weren't farmers anyway, so they didn't really know these halachos. But in Egypt and Iraq and Jordan, obviously Syria, which is really Syria's partial Kedusha of Yisrael, you have to keep Trumas or Maestros, Midrabanan. Trumas or Maestros came to Seder, you know, taxes. As tax rates go, it's not all that high. Shemitah is very, very difficult, Kayadua. So they weren't Gozer Shemitah, Midrabanan. So Amun Mov is one of those places where there were Gozer Trumas or Maestros, Midrabanan, but not Shemitah. And the Mishnah Yadayim tells us that in these countries, they were Gozer Shemitah, but they were Gozer Trumas Meisros and Drabanan. They had to figure out which Meisr goes for the seventh year. And there's different countries, and apparently they were very misophic about Amun Umoav. There's a whole story how they had all the debate, and finally they figured out the answer. And then they realized later that it was really Masorah from Chagai and Avi. And they got the right answer, luckily, but... it was really Masorah from Chagai and Avi. Okay, so Amun Umoav Meisr and Meisr Ani B'Shvias. It's Meisr Ani and not Meisr Sheni. Why? The Omar Mar, and here they quote the Brisa from Maseches Chagiga where they discuss this inyan. Harbi Krachin Kavshu Oli Mitzrayim or Kavshu Oli Bagel. There are many places which were conquered by the people who made Aliyah from Mitzrayim, meaning the days of Yeshua ben Nun, part of the borders of Yeshua ben Nun, but not part of the borders of Oli Bavel, of Shivat Zion, of Ezra and Nehemiah. The Kedusha Rishon, Kishol Shaitan, Lokichel Asad Lavo, and the original Kedusha was temporary, didn't last forever, so even though they were part of the borders of Yeshua ben Nun, they weren't Kadosh forever, and then in the days of Baisheni, they had to decide what to be Gozer on them, what rules to make for them. V'hinichon, Kedeshiyas Mokalim, Niyam Bashviyas. So there are many areas which were within the Gvulis of Oli Mitzrayim and outside the Gvulis of Oli Bavel where they left without a din of Shemitah in order that the Aniyim could have what to eat during Shvi'i Ashirim and will somehow take care of themselves. What about the Aniyim? They're not going to get their maestros and their lekeshich and peya, etc. So there are many places where they left exempt from the laws of Shemitah so that the Aniyim could get all their matanos. And some people say also so they could work there on the farms and make some money, where they left without the halachas of Shvi'is, so that the Aniyim can get support. So likewise here, if the whole logic of having places that don't have Shemitah is to help the Aniyim, then obviously it'd be Gozer Meiser Ani. Right? Because the Aniyim in Eretz Yisrael, they would go, they'd cross the river to Ammon and Moab, and they'd be able to get Meiser Ani, a tenth of all the produce, and that would help them out. Okay, yeah.
Isn't Shemitah better for the Aniyim because just everything's hefker, so you do whatever you want? Not the 10%?
Okay, that is a good question. And this actually, this gets a little complicated because it gets into the Mishnah in Shviyas about the two different Aratzos. So let me answer you in an answer that's very simple, but it's actually controversial and might be more complicated. Is that, yeah, it's very nice that everything's hefker, but if you don't plant anything in the first place, then it doesn't help. Like, what's hefker? The fruits are hefker. But there's no real food, right? That's very nice that you can have grapes and you could have oranges, or if they had then, or apples, or whatever fruits they grew then. That's very nice. But what do you eat? You eat grains and legumes, right? And what do you eat? You don't live off apples and oranges, and you also don't live off lettuce and tomatoes either. You live off grains and kidneys, which are the things that you make bread out of, or you make cakes out of, and that last for a long time that you can store and keep in your house. And if you don't plant those, then there aren't any. So,
I think also maybe because you can only take Muslim children's food, though. So, maybe you could keep going and getting...
Saying after...
But you'd have to...
All right, that's also a good point, which is might work. The old sheet is that after the Shasabir, you can't store it in your house. So the usher, fine, he won't store it in his house. You know, he has enough money in his house, he'll just buy food from someone else. You know, buy some other kind of food. But after the Shasabir, you can't store it in your house. So then the Aniyim are going to be stuck, unless you say there's no Kedusha Shuyas, in which case, he'll be okay. Yeah?
Is there a bitul of mitzvahs kibush Eretz Yisrael here, by not, the kavana not being kolish al-Mu'ah?
So, and Harbi Krachan, and many, many places. So that's an interesting question. What about the mitzvah of Yishav Ha'aretz? So Ammon and Moab might be a little more complicated because it's not necessarily an Eretz Yisrael, right?
Sounds like there isn't any kibush that they've
done. No, but that doesn't mean you're chayiv to. It just means you could, right? You could expand. I'm
a
tape here. They're, you know, the bagatz is going to arrest me. But halakhically, you could expand all the way to India and to, South Africa if you want. But that doesn't mean you're chayiv to. Right? So Ammon and Moab, but the Harbi Krachim are within the borders of Israel, like from river to the sea. So that's an interesting question. If they weren't Makadish, these places, sounds like they had a choice in the matter, right? Is that a bitul of Yishav Ha'aretz? Unless you want, I haven't thought about that question, unless you want to say that Yishav Ha'aretz L'chud and Kedushas Ha'aretz L'chud, which is something that maybe we'll have a chance to come back to, that they, L'maisa, it doesn't mean they decided not to have Jews there. The Jews went wherever the Jews could go. However many Jews they were, they took over, they lived in as many places as there was room for them, and they tried to amass as much power as they could. This is more a question of just did they give it Kedushas Ha'aretz or not? And so you could say that if you assume that you have to decide whether to be Mekadesh it, that maybe that's not a chiyuv. Or if you want, you could say better that really midoraisa they didn't have the ability to take over these places anyway. The question is just whether Migos or Midrabanan, then that would answer your question a lot better. So if you assume, let's say the best answer to Yoni's question is really they weren't deciding whether or not to live in places. They didn't have enough people to where they didn't have permission to live in certain places. The question is just who goes or Midrabanan the mitzvahs anyway. Nothing to do with Yishav Ha'aretz. So I think that's the answer. They weren't deciding not to be Miyashi the Ha'aretz. They were deciding whether we go Zer Yisurim. And they said, well, we go Zer Meisris, but not Shemitah, because we want the Aniyim to be able to have a Parnasa.
What it says, the Yinichum Kedishim Kolem Aniyim, sounds like it was a plan, there was a logic to it. Also, for the sake of Yishav Ha'aretz that they already had.
So you can all say it's for the sake of Yishav Ha'aretz. All right, Nachum, that's, I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. Now, when it comes to the Ammon and Moab, I should just point out that there's a machlokus rishonim. What are these Ammon and Moab that didn't have the dinim of that didn't have the dinim of Shemitah? The Rashi says, what does Ammon and Moab mean? Yisrael Madar Ba'aretz Ammon and Moab Shekibesh Moshe Misichon. Right, everyone knows din that Ammon and Moab Tiro B'Sichon. Right, Sichon took over part of Ammon and Moab, and then Moshe took it over from him. So it means the Jews who live in that land, which Sichon took over from Ammon and Moab. So sounds like the Ivra Yardin part of Israel.
Isn't there no Shemitah Doreis and Dai Shemi anywhere in Eretz Yisrael?
That is a big machlokes Rishonim. That's a big machlokes Rishonim. I think... hard to tell what most Rishonim hold. Hard to tell what most Rishonim hold.
Would you have extended this also? It's not just Amun Moav. Any place there's no Shemitah... Oh, there's
still Shemitah. Yeah, I wonder if there was Shemitah. Okay, so I'll just mention a quick machlok Rishonim here. Tosus brings up a stira. There's a Mishnah in Perek Mokim Shonim Musachim, which they quote, but it's really a Mishnah in Shvias, which says there are three different provinces when it comes to the how you know when the time of beer is for Perek Shvias. Yehuda, that's where we are, right? Galil, the north of Israel, and Ivar Yardin. The Transjordan, right? Literally, Transjordan means Ivra Yardin. So we see that there is Kedusha Shvias in Ivra Yardin. So how can we say there's no Shvias in Amun Moav and there is Shvias in Ivra Yardin? So Tosh just says there are, you have to say, obviously, that Amun Moav means something different from Ivra Yardin, right? That's Pasha. The Amun Moav, there's no Shvias. That's very clear. Ivar Yardin, there is Kedusha Shvias. That's very clear. It's a Mishnah in Shvias. So you have to say there are two different places. So what would you have said? What's the Amun Moav and Ivar Yardin? So Rashi says Amun Moav means the part that Sichon conquered for Amun Moav. So then what's Ivar Yardin? So Rashi says that it means Sichon conquered from Amun Moav. That's the place that does not have Kedusha Shvias. So what's the place that does have Kedusha Shvias? That was apparently within the Gvulos of Olei Bavel. So you have to say the land that Sichon Ve'og had not from Amun Moav. Right? Sichon and Ogeda had their own land, and then they conquered some of Amun Moav. The place they conquered from Amun Moav, that was, had no, that there was no Shvias there. That was not no Kedusha. The place that Sichon and Og had on their own before they fought with Amun Moav, right? The Rashi says that Bilam refers to this. That Bilam was involved in that big fight. Okay, Yomra Moslem. That place was the Ivra Yardin that does have Kedusha Shvias. Most Rishonim hold like the second day of Tosfos here. The Odom Rabbi Yotam, and the other Rishonim hold a little differently. They hold that Amun Moav means the parts never conquered by Sichon. When it says Amun Moav, there's no Shvias. That's the parts of Amun Moav that Sichon never conquered, that the Ammonim and the Moavim lived in throughout the time of the Chumash and Sefer Yoshua. And the Ivra Yardin is all of Eretz. Sichon Ve'og, that we do keep Shvias in, and that's within the Kedusha that Oli Bavel were Mekadesh and gave it the Halachos of Shvias. That's the first half of this Tosfos here. So everyone agrees there must be two different kinds of land on the other side of the Yardin. The question is, where to draw the line? Rashi says anything that was originally Amun Moav, there's no Shemitah. The Oli Bavel were only Mekadesh. The things that were originally from Sichon and Og, most Rishonim say, and that's the Maskon of Tosos, that the anything which Amun Moav never lost to Sichon, that has no Shvias, but the part that Amun Moav lost to Sichon and became part of Reuben, Gad, and Chatzi Menashe, all of that has Kedusha Ada Yom Hazeh, and you have to keep Shvias. Tosos, the reason why Tosos likes this pshat is because... The reason why Tosos likes this pshat is he brings a raya. He says that it's Rabbi Eliezer in Maseches Chagigah who says Amun Moav Meiser Ani Bashvias. Rabbi Eliezer is the one here through Dos Ben Horkenes because it's an Agav Orchah that he mentions it, but it's really Rabbi Eliezer is the main person who is involved in this. Rabbi Dos Ben Horkenes was involved in the Sar Sabas, and Agav Orchah mentioned this other Masorah. Rabbi Eliezer was really the one who was involved in the story. He was the one who wasn't the Mishmedrash, and they decided to Meiser Ani, and then they came back, and he said, oh, don't you know it's a Masorah from Chagai and Avi? You could have asked me, and I would have saved you all the trouble of debating it. Rabbi Eliezer is the one who holds this. And Rabbi Eliezer, what's his proof? Rabbi Eliezer holds Amon Umoah
Meisrin. Meiser Ani Mashvias. And the same Rabbi Eliezer holds that Kedusha Rishona, Kidsha, Meshaita, Vikidsha La'asid Lavo.
How does he know Kedusha Rishona, Kidsha La'asid Lavo, that Kedusha Rishona lasted forever? Because Rabbi Eliezer himself says in Megillah, because he holds
they could be makriv karbonos before building by a sheni.
Right? He says the kedusha, the first place of Megillah, lasts forever. You can be makriv karbonos before building by a sheni. If Rabbi Eliezer holds the first kedusha was forever, then all the land they conquered from Sichon always in the first kedusha. So that first kedusha is forever. So how could they not keep Shvius? So it must be that all of the earth Sichon Va'og has kedusha because it was has Shvius because it's part of kedusha Rishona. How well, that's Tosos' proof. Now I just read you this long Tosos that if kedusha Rishona is forever to the first place Hamikdash, kedusha was valid even after the Korban. So that means all of the land Moshe and Yoshua conquered is Kaddish forever. If they conquered all of the land of Sichon Va'og, all the land of Sichon Va'og must be Kaddish forever. And therefore, the Eber Yardin which has Shvius must be all of the land of Sichon Va'og. How would Rashi defend himself? So Tosos and the other parts of Shas and the other Rishonim point out, Rashi would defend himself by saying a chilek which most Rishonim end up agreeing with, by saying that Rabbi Eliezer holds. How would he defend himself? If Kedusha Rishona is Kitcha L'Asid Lavo is Kaddish forever, then why isn't all the land of Sichon and Og Kaddish forever? So you'd say there are two different sugyas of Kedusha Rishona. One about Kedusha Rishona. What are the... Well, is the proof that the Beis HaMikdash was Kaddish even after Nebuchadnezzar was Makariv? Does that prove that all the land Moshe Yeshua conquered is Kaddish forever? Because one is about the Beis HaMikdash, and one is about Eretz Yisrael, and that's what Rashi, he doesn't say this, but he holds like most Rishonim, that Rabbi Eliezer holds like most Rishonim interpret him. Like the way most Rishonim interpret the Tana Rabbi Eliezer, which is that Kedusha Rishona of Kedusha Ha'arbetz was not La'asid Lavo, was not forever. The first Kedusha Arts didn't last forever. Eretz Sichon Va'og lost its Kedusha. Then Ezra and Nehemiah came and made part of it Kadosh and part of it not. The part that was always Sichon Va'og they made Kadosh, the part that took around the Moab they didn't. But Kedushas Habayis, that's La'asid Lavo. This is famous Tosfos from the Rambam, but most Rishonim end up holding this way for all kinds of various reasons, which you can find if you look at the Tosos and the Ramban, the Ritva in Shavuos Tes Zayin, that Kedusha Arutz of the Mikdash lasted forever, but Kedusha Arutz of the whole Eretz Yisrael didn't last forever. And then when Ezra and Nehemiah came back, they decided, like it says here, that some Krachim they'll make Shvius and some Krachim they won't.
Is Mikdash just Mikdash, or does Mikdash even extend to Shalom?
Pretty much everyone agrees. I think you have to. It's Mufrach that Yerushalayim goes with Mikdash.
Yerushalayim goes with Mikdash.
Yeah, Yerushalayim goes with Mikdash. Habayis includes Mikdash and Yerushalayim.
That's not just like the Rambam's sheet of Mikdash being Yerushalayim for other things as well.
I think it's Mukhra because they said you used to eat kachim kalim in the whole ear during the 70 years ago as Bavel. Also, you could, so that proves that it's all Yerushalayim. Okay, that's our sugya. Now, we just have to figure out one simple question. What is the status of Eretz Yisrael? What is the status of Eretz Yisrael? Now, there's a famous two somewhat obscure Rishonim make an important Ha'ara. Which two somewhat obscure Rishonim make an important Ha'ara before we discuss Kedusha Arutz? The Tashbetz and the Kafta Raferach. The Tashbetz and the Kafta Raferach both point out that the whole question of Kedusha Arutz, that L'shaita, is it L'asid Lavo, is it forever or not, isn't the question of the Uganda plan. The question isn't whether Eretz Yisrael is really special or whether Eretz Yisrael is not special, and you know Australia would do just as well.
in the metaphysical, spiritual sense, and the potential sense, Eretz Yisrael is always unique.
Right, after all, Eretz Yisrael, Chazal tell us that the whole world came from the Makom HaMikdash, the Eben Shisiyah, and Avraham Avinu already knew there was something, Terach already knew there was something special about Eretz Yisrael.
There's always something new to them. Abel didn't fall in Eretz Yisrael. There's always unique things about.
There are always unique things about Eretz Yisrael. Right, Avraham Avinu, Lartz HaShar Eka. There are always unique things about Eretz Yisrael.
That, there was always a spiritual uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael always was supposed to be the place. Right, there was a mitzvah of Yishav Ha'aretz even before we were Mekadosh anything. So clearly, there's the spiritual potential. That's not something which is subject to,
being turned on and off.
The question we mean Kedushas Ha'aretz here, Kedusha Rishona, Kedusha Shnia. What do we mean by Kedusha Rishona?
What kind of Kedusha do we mean? That's was what does Argamar say? It was L'shaik of L'olas Lava. It was for its time. It didn't last forever. What kind of kedusha do we mean that was might not last forever?
Mitzvos.
What?
Mitzvos.
The kedusha of the chi of mitzvos, right? The kedusha is la'inyan the chi of mitzvos, right? The halachic kedusha, not the spiritual kedusha. The halachic kedusha that you have special mitzvos in Eretz Yisrael, meaning that you've realized the potential to make it the place where the Jews keep special mitzvos. The idea that it's kaddish for doing special mitzvos, that is something which could be created and could be undone, apparently. And one has to debate, exactly, does it have that Kedusha, or does it not have that Kedusha? That's the Kedusha in mitzvos, classically, mainly, Trumas and Maisos and Shvias, although there are many other mitzvos which apply uniquely or more so in Eretz Yisrael. Kalayim applies more in Eretz Yisrael, and Arla applies more in Eretz Yisrael. And then there are other things, and Smicha is there, and the regular roof is there, it's Yisrael. But we won't get into that right now. So, what does Argamar say? Argamar says Kedusha Rishona, the original Kedusha, was for its time and didn't last forever. Somehow this original Kedusha didn't last forever, Kedusha Rishona. The Gemara only used the phrase Kedusha Rishona. But it's not unreasonable to think that after Kedusha Rishona there might be Kedusha Shnia. So what's the relationship between Kedusha Rishona and Kedusha Shnia? So that seems to be a bit of a debate if we just turn for a moment a little later on to Daf Pei Beis in Yevamos. It's obviously an aside in Daf Pei Beis in Yevamos. If you look at Daf Pei Beis in Yevamos, about two-thirds of the way through, the Gemara asks, sort of in the middle of the line, two-thirds of the way through, V'savar Rabbi Yochanan Trumas Zman Hazed Doraisa V'Hatanya, and then you get the base of the Mishpat. Does Rabbi Yochanan Trumas Zman Hazed Doraisa? Right, if there's Kedusha Arts, what does Kedusha Arts mean? You're Chayiv and Trumas Mi Doraisa. V'Hatanya Shtei Kupos Achshal Chulim Yachshal Truma Lufnein Shtei Sain Achshal Chulim Yachshal Truma V'Nafu Eilim Toch Eilu Harei Eilu Mutarim. If there were two baskets, one of Truma, one of Chulim, and two little buckets, one of Truma, one of Chulim, and each one got poured into one, we have here a 50-50 suffix. Maybe the truma fell into truma, chulin into chulin, and your chulin's still okay. Or maybe the chulin fell into the truma fell into the chulin, and they are... You want to turn on the air conditioning? What do you think? And now they're both messed up. So you have a 50-50 suffix. What do you do? So without getting into lumdus of this sugya, which is not makom laharich, depends if it's the rice or the rabbanan usually. So what do we paskin? It's mutter, and we assume the truma fell into the truma, the chulin to the chulin, and we're making me suffix. For our Reish Lakish, we should rub the chulin al truma. Reish Lakish says, why are we making the suffix? Because we have a rove. Because, like, the big baskets on the bottom were much larger than the buckets that fell in. So the truma's butt of a rove anyway, so that's why we're right to be making. Even if the truma fell into the chulin's butt of a rove. So we're making, it's only drabbanan, because me the rice of this bit of a rove. Rabbi Yochanan Rav Fishel Lo Rav Chulin Truma. Rabbi Yochanan says even if there's no rove, it's just a pure 50-50 suffik we're making. Bishlam Reish Lakish suffik Rabbanan Amri Buyid Bina. Reish Lakish could all truma is not rice or Rabbanan. Either way, it's only bottled. There's a rove. But and it doesn't matter if you follow this discussion. Elo Rabbi Yochanan Kasha. Rabbi Yochanan has a stira. He says truma is not as there's no rice, but then he himself said truma is not as there's Rabbanan. You can make him a suffik. Okay. If you follow, doesn't matter. Now we have to resolve the suffik. No problem. Hamani Rabbanan he va'anadami for Rabbi Yosi says no problem. Machlokas Tanah Rabbanan Rabbi Yosi whether truma nowadays is the rice or the Rabbanan.
The Tanya of Seder Olam, Asher Yarcho of Zechavi Rishta, teaches in the Seder Olam. Usually, what's the book Seder Olam? It's a book of Medrash and the Tanarim. What does it usually discuss? Chronology, right? That's why it's the Seder Olam. But it also discusses other things. So it says in Seder Olam, Asher Yarcho of Zechavi Rishta, something which is tangentially connected to chronology. Right? What does the Pasuk say? That the Achashem Elkechel Eretz Asher Yarcho of Zechavi Rishta, he'll bring you into the land your forefathers inherited, and you will inherit it. Meaning, this is coming after the Golos. This is after the Golos that's talked about in Parshas Kisavo. You have the Tzavim Vayelech, and then it says that there'll be a Geula. And in the time of Geula, you'll go back and re-inherit the land of Israel. And what's the Diyuk? Asher Yarcho v'Sechav Yerishta. It says two times. It doesn't say three times in the Torah. So the Diyuk is, Rishon Hashni Yeshlam Shlish Deim Lahem. There are two Yerushas, there's not a third one. This doesn't Chas V'Shalom mean that there'll never be a third Geula, not denying Mashiach. It means the other way around. You don't need a third Geula, as Rashi says. You don't need, you need a third Geula in a practical sense. But in terms of the halachic status, you don't need a third Geula. You had one Kiddush, then you needed a second Kiddush. You don't need a third Kiddush. Why? Because the second one lasts forever. So Rabbi Yossi holds the second one lasts forever. So he's obviously the one who holds Truma Zanazeh is Doraisa. The Chachamim seem to hold the second one doesn't last forever. Seem to hold, and they would hold that Truma Zanazeh is Derabanan. So you have two opinions here. You have number one the opinion of Lechora the Chachamim, who say that Kedusha Rishona is only L'Shaita and Kedusha Shnia is only L'Shaita. I say L'Chora because there's a lot more to talk about here, but not for now. In which case, they're both Batel, right? They're both Batel and there's not a Zeh. There is no Kedusha Saaretz, okay? Kedusha Rishona is Batel, L'Shaita, and not L'Shaita level, right? So therefore, there's no Kedusha Bizman Hazeh. Who passed me that way among the Rishonim? Not perhaps, but not as clearly as some of the other Rishonim, but quite possibly. But if you're here, just pass this out, please. This is the famous talk of the Sefer Truma and a couple of Rishoni Ashkenaz. The Sefer Truma and a couple of Rishoni Ashkenaz. The Sefer Truma here at the top of the sheet says, "V'hashda hochachti dekdush Yoshua Butla Meirav Meir v'Revi Sheitur Beis Shaan u'Miedrash Rus v'Gracious Rab of Yerusham Nitzachas Shvius v'Lo Tema." So I proved to you the first kedusha is Butla because Revi was Matur Beis Shaan because even though it was conquered the first time. And don't say Kedusha Rishon might be bottled, but Kedusha Shnia is around forever. Don't say we hold like the Seder Olam, like Rabbi Yossi. The Tanya Rishon Shnia Yeshlam Shlish Zeinlehem, who all this is what you shouldn't say, like the Seder Olam and Yavam's Pepe and Base. Amal Kedusha Ezra Kayemes. No, ain't Halacha King. We don't hold like the Seder Olam. Why do we have to hold like the Seder Olam? Reb Yochanan says that he said two things. He was so sure of himself. He says Doraisa, says Drabanan. Says Reb Yochanan's real sheet is that it's Drabanan. His real sheet is that it's Drabanan. He just was saying there's a one opinion that holds Doraisa, and that's the Seder Olam. When I said Doraisa, I meant the one opinion of Seder Olam. But the real psak is that it's Drabanan. I don't like the Chacham, like the majority opinion. And that's what he says, that even if Shuman Chulin falls to Shuman Chulin, there's no roof. It's a 50-50 Safik kosher trait. Where may go? Truman Zanazet Drabanan. Karsal Perik Elu over in Perik Elu Shlosha Minim. Hanach the Truman Zanazet Drabanan. Many Gemara say Truman's Drabanan. Mashvadachi Kimle. We Paskin, everything's Drabanan. Below Kamar Kasavar Truman. Low Kamar Kasavar Truman Zanazet Drabanan. Doesn't even say he holds. It says it is. It's a fact. But time of the Kedusha Baisim Achid Skyrim's Olam Kedus. Okay. Prashla El Ha Taima. Okay, and therefore, what does he say? He says that everything's only only Drabbanan, that's what he says, that even a Jew who grows his own food and eats it himself, which is like the real kind of truma that the Torah talked about, everything's only Drabbanan b'zmanazeh. Once you start with the sefer truma, kedusha starts only b'zmanazeh, there's not real kedusha, everything's just like zera b'alma. From here, you get a lot of kulas if you would pass in this way. In terms of truma b'zmanazeh, heter mechira, even the briskers would agree that the heter mechira works according to this. Because it's not really kedusha aretz. This is the sefer truma. And a minority of Rishonim. Ktsas Rishonim. Why do I say maybe the Raavad Tzvi? The Raavad is more talking about the bias than the Aretz. So, Yesh L'ayin. There is a radical opinion in the other direction. What's the middle Shita? The middle Shita is Rabbi Yossi Seder Olam. That's very clear. Kedusha Rishona. That's L'shaita. Below le'asid lavo, but kedusha shnia is l'shaita u le'asid lavo. That's the shita of Rabbi Yossi in the Seder Olam. There'll be a rishon and shnia, and the shnia lasts forever, right? So adayim mazeh, we have kedusha aretz to araisa. Who passed it this way? This is the psak of the Rambam and Rov Rishonim. The Rambam and Rov Rishonim understand that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. the Raavad actually sounds like that in most places, and many Rishonim. Hard to exactly count the Rov, but certainly the Rambam and many Rishonim. I think it's more Rishonim than agree with the Sefer Truma, although it's not like 90-10, but I think they're more Rishonim agree with the Rambam than the Sefer Truma. So let's write the Rambam and many Rishonim. The Od Rishonim paskin like Rabbi Yossi, and that's the Rambam I have on the sheet here, the third thing on the sheet. Kol Shel Chazikah Olim Mitzrayim Neskadesh Kedusha Rishona. Any place which the Jews who came out of Mitzrayim, made Aliyah from Mitzrayim, were Mekadosh the first time, came to Golo, but look at Shasan. When they went to Golo, Sadun Mukhanetzer, it was Nisbatel. Shekadosh Rishona, Fishais, and the Akibas will that, Kishlo said, look, Kishlo's level. Kadosh Rishona was only for its time, didn't last forever. Came into Olu B'nai Golo, Mechzik, Mitzaretz, when the B'nai Babel came, were Machzik in some of the Aretz, right? The B'nai Babel were Machzik in as much as the Aretz as the Olu Mitzrayim, right? Yoshua, in the end, okay, if you actually get through Sefer Yoshua, you see, it doesn't quite live up to, where we left off at the end of the Chumash. But still, in the end, they conquered basically the whole land of Israel. If you look in the history of Bayesheni, they had a much smaller province given to them by Koresh. It was basically just like the province of the area of Judea. So they had a smaller part, and then they had some of the Golan, some of the Yarden, but it was a much smaller area. And they are masik some of the arts. Kedusha, kedusha shnia. They made a kedusha shnia. Ha'omedes li'olam shaylos lavo, which lasts forever. And then the Rambam brings down what's an argmar. Ve'inichos ha'makom shechziv olam mitzrayim lo chzikim ha'olam li'vav. They left some places that were within the borders of the first kedusha, and they did not take hold of them and give them the second kedusha. Shahayu ve'lo patura min ha'truma ma'isros. They left them, but they didn't patur them from trumas or ma'isros. Meaning, they didn't give them shmiya tshinta, but they did give them trumas or ma'isros. To help the aniyim during shvius, Rabbeinu Kadosh Yitro Beis Shaan Migos from a Komish Lochzikim Olu Bavel Hu Nimna Al Ashkelon Hu Patra Al Ma'isros. And Rebbe had two kulas in Beis Shaan. He said that was part of the place Olu Bavel left, and you have trumas or ma'isros, but no shvius. And then Ashkelon, he said, no, Ashkelon was not kedusha at all. That's from the Plishtim, and that's not kedusha at all, and you don't even have to keep ma'isros. Okay, that we needn't get into. That's the Rambam and many Rishonim. Is there a third opinion? Theoretically, what would the third opinion possibly be? Or just saying the lashon that I used. That kedusha rishona, right? Kidsha l'shata ula asid lavo, and then there's nothing to talk about kedusha shnia, right? Then there's nothing to talk about kedusha rishona is forever. Would end up asking the same as the Rambam, but kedusha rishona lasts forever. And then he'd be more machmir. Any place where they lived in the time of Kedusha Rishona would be Kaddish forever, right? That would be a big Chumrah. Does anyone hold that?
The Rambam.
What? No, the Rambam says Kedusha Rishona is bottled. That's very clear.
That's Rambam.
He says, it's the same thing. We'll get to that in a second.
this is very obscure. The relative of the Baal HaEter held this, and the Baal HaEter left him Betzarech Iyun. I haven't found any like Rishon who actually are willing to sign on with their real names. The Baal HaEter quotes that his relative held this way. No, Tosos, part of you're right that Tosos thinks the Tanna Rebbe Eliezer held this way. But Tosos doesn't say that he posits that. So, the relative, we don't know which relative, we know the name of the Baal HaEter held this way. Very, very obscure Shita. If you look in the Sefer Iter here, if you ever read the Sefer Iter, you know that it's one of the... There are a few Sfarim in the Rishonim which are organized in intriguing fashions. Like the Sefer Yerayim comes to mind. But the Baal HaEter really is the most interestingly organized of any of the Rishonim. He basically picks a few letters which have important significance for him, and then takes a few topics in Choshen Mishpat that start with or come close to start, have the first consonant of that letter, and then goes in that order. So this is the Iter Os Pei Prizbal. If you want to look up something in the Iter, basically you just have to look for like he has like Mem and Gimel and Pei and like a couple others. And you have to look for what letter and what topic there, and then you get on tangents, other things in Shas. Very, very fascinating. And then, except for the other half. Another part of the Sefer Iter, we wrote a Aseres HaDibros, which is not about the Aseres HaDibros. It's about 10 areas of halacha, which he ties in with Alpi Drush to Aseres HaDibros, and that's where he deals with his Yordain and Or Chaim. But here he's dealing with Choshen Mishpat, Os Pei Prizbal, and in Prizbal he's obviously discussing Hilchos Shemitah Kesafin. But he doesn't have another letter for Shemitah Kesafin, so he puts it under Prizbal. And Shemitah Kesafin, he comes to discuss Shemitah, and he comes to discuss Shemitah, he comes to discuss Mitzvah, please, Baritz. So this is the side point, the very end here. He says, V'alkerim Revai Sha'alti the Rav Krovenu HaChassid. He had a relative who was a Rav and a Chassid, meaning not a follower of the Baal Shem Tov, but a exceedingly pious person. Kevin Degomri Kodesh Meiser, name of Meiser, and Nogu Zanazah, Fil Ba'aretz, Kedetam, Shmur, Yachol, Yadlad, and Meiser, Shem, Zanazah, Bechuli, Kedisha Hassan, Kerevai, Lo Yenoig. He says, maybe since Kerem Revai is Hukash to Meiser Shemi, just like there's no Meiser Shemi, Bezmanazah, so there's no Kerem Revai, Bezmanazah. Uv Yishami Lo Garcino, and Meiser, and Nogu Surya. Behe Shiv, the Sphere Lake, Manar, Kedush, Shana, Kitchel, Shai, Bekitchel, Lassid, Lavo, Kedetani, Bibki, Rasa. And this Rav Kravenu said, no, we hold that Kedush Rishon lasts forever. Like the Mishnah says, what Masech is called Bichi Rasa? What Masech is called Bichi Rasa? The nickname for Masech is Eidios. Masech is Eidios is, what's the topic of Masech is Eidios? Not about the laws of Eidios, that's in Sanhedrin. And then the Zom and make it into Magnus. Because Eidios is about various important chachamim and important stages of the tkufa, the tanaim, who were made certain important halachos that people were misopic about. So Aegeus is called Bechirasa, because it's like the, you know, like they have like Bruce Springsteen greatest hits, right? So that Aegeus is like tanaim greatest hits. These are things that like certain people were made on important machlokes that they really answered the question for us. So the assumption is, if you remember back to fourth grade, right, in Tefillas HaShachar, that whole Betani Be'ib, Be'chirasa Kavaseh, the assumption is that whatever teaches an Eidios, then that we should really follow that. That really halacha is like whatever's taught in Eidios. It's not just sound of it. That's what's called Be'chirasa. So, okay, if you ever find Tani Be'chirasa, now you'll, and you forgot fourth grade, you'll know that it means the sense of Eidios. So what does it say there? Amri, Shemolevi, Shemachi, Akriven, Alfishin, Bayis, it should say Amor Yeshua. Yeshua believes in Amor. Shemayim Kriven Alfishin Bayis. Shemayim Shein Alfishin Choma. Shekdush Rishona. Kitzul Sait. Kitzul also love. Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Yeshua. Alach. Rabbi Yeshua. And even though Rabbi Lazar is Mesopek, we pass like Rabbi Yeshua. What was that? Zvachin Garcina. Rabbi Yochanan. Shlosha Bim Alam Regolov. Cholmak Malach. Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan also say Kriven Alfishin Shabayis. Right? They were Makriv in the days of Shivat Zion without a bias. So that shows Kedush Rishona is forever. Vekayim Alam Mishnah. Rabbi Lazar Ben Yakov Kavanaki. Rabbi Yisrael Shemachi Shemar Kriven Beis Choni Bezman Azeh Hal Hader Bei Rabbi Yisrael who says you're allowed to be Makar and Bomas now that he's retracted. Rabbi Elazar Ben Yosi Darsh Alfa Shem Asher Vahis Lo Kovim Lekein says even if there's no wall the city's still Kadosh. Rabbi Yochanan Yishlakish plead be Yivamos, here's a little cheating. Perka Oral Da Amrali Rabbi Yochanan Yishlakish Mizbar Kesav Shemun Zayin Zayin Arayis. There are a bunch of Yisrael Lekman Dar Shemun Zayin Arayis. Right, therefore everything's Arayis because Rosh Hashanah is forever. Says whose opinion is he following? Rabbi Yoshua in Eduyos. This is the Karov of the Baal HaEter follows Rabbi Yoshua in Eduyos, who says Kedusha Rishona is forever, and that answers all the questions. Why isn't anyone else in the world convinced by this riot from Adios? And matter of fact, the editor himself, the part I didn't Xerox, and continues, he says, well, not so postured, I really serve Ian. Why isn't that really convincing riot from Adios? Because that's the Kedusha's Mikdash. And most Rishonim assume that the question of the Kedusha Mikdash is a different question than the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. So that's why no one agrees with the Karov of. First of all, not everyone agrees with Shapas like Rabbi Yeshua. But the reason no one agrees with the Karov of the Bala Itter is because he assumes that Mikdash and Kedusha Aretz are the same sugya, which is what Tosfos and Ardaf assumes, but in most places in Shas, he does not assume that way, and most Rishonim don't assume that way. Okay, so we'll come back to that in a moment. Okay, now, yeah.
Where's Beis
Chonyo? Beis Chonyo is in Egypt, no? It was a really cool place. There are really cool things that happened in Jewish history thousands of years ago that, you know, I mean, if you learn Zvot, the end of Zvachim, you know all about Beis Chonyo. I mean, you know, it's just not family. She was part of Shas. If you learn Zvachim, you can never forget Beis Chonyo. There was and it wasn't the only one. Archaeologists found other ones also. Apparently, there were Jewish temples in various places in Chutz La'aretz during the time of Bayashemi, which were not precisely orthodox according to all opinions. But Beis Chonyo was, there's a big Jewish community in Egypt. Egypt was like the, you know, I don't know, like the America or something in those days. Like, there was a tremendous Jewish community, and they were affiliated, and they practiced Judaism there. It wasn't just people assimilated and disappeared, so like they did in Turkey or something.
In Beersheba.
What?
In Beersheba, in town Beersheba, they said there was a...
But is that from Bayashemi?
No, that was by Shem.
Oh, by Yishrishim, we know there were Vagos all over the place. That it says in the Tanakh. But even in Bayashemi, when you think, like in Bayashemi, people knew halacha, it was Masudr, like things were clear. They made a mikdash in Egypt called Beis Chonyo, and then Zarachlokes as to whether there's really Kedusha Mikdash. Bizman Azeh, if there is Kedusha Mikdash, then whoever's Makrib in Beis Chonyo is Chayv Kares. There's no Kedusha Mikdash, then Efshar, that there's no Esri Makrib in Beis Chonyo.
Even after the
That is, okay, that's a big machlokas, and it's a big sugi, and we're not getting into it now. That has to do with the raven, that has to do with the whole mimanav shach for bringing the carbon pen, for bringing the carbonos, bizman hazeh. You might be familiar with that sugi. Now, anyway, it's interesting. The Gemara actually says, how did Beis Chonyo get started? You would probably never guess in a million years why Taka did they start. There are many, the archaeologists, meanwhile, have found Jewish temples in various places, let's say in Egypt and Elephantine and other places, where the Jews just want their shul there, and their idea of the shul was to bring karbanos, and maybe they didn't hold like, or they didn't know about the Yisr of Bamos. But the Gemara says that Beis Chonyo, which is a very fancy established thing, you would never believe in a million years, was actually started because there was a political fight between two people, and therefore one of them, who didn't get to be the Kohen Gadol Beis Mikdash, says, I'm going to start my own thing, and went someplace where there was a fertile ground for starting his own shtiebel based on the dust. So you see how the some things, as much as technology changes, people are really exactly the same if they were in time by Shani, and even in the time of Chumash, and Mustama, even you know in the time of the even in the time of the Avos, and Mustama in the you know even in the Antediluvian period as well. Okay, now we have the Shita. I just have a very, very simple question. Which of these three shitas is the least logical? Which of these three shitas is the least logical?
One.
What?
The one that most people pass. No one.
The one that most people pass, like the Rambam pass, is like, right? Why? Because the Chachamim L'chora, and the way the Sefer Truma Paskins, says, look, Kedusha Sa'aretz is L'shanta. Kedusha lasts as long as it lasts. So they came in the Bais Rishona, really the the Knesset Rishona, and that lasted from Yoshua to, right, it lasted 850 years. And then it was this battle. They came the second time around with Ezra and Nehemiah, well, really, they didn't come with Nehemiah. They came in the days of Shivat Zion. And that lasted for however long it lasted. And then it was Nisbato. Yeah, Kedusha Sa'aretz is a temporary thing. Could be. What does the Bala Itter's Karuv hold? Because he says two things. A, we pass like very sure, Kedusha Mikdash. Kedusha Rishon lasts forever. And Kedusha Mikdash, Kedusha Yitzchol are the same parts. So no, Kedusha is a permanent thing. Kedusha doesn't go away. We pass and Kedusha lasts forever. The most interesting Shita, of course, is the middle Shita, which is the way the Rambam paskins. Why does Kedusha Rishona and that Shita is Mukhrach and Shas? It says, Rishonim Shnei Yishlam Shlishis Eilahem, right? It's Mukhrach and Shas, there's a Shita of Seder Olam, that Kedusha Rishon is Kitchel Shaita below Kitchel Asavavo, but Kedusha Shnei is Kitchel Shaita big Kitchel Asavavo, that Kedusha Shnei lasts longer than Kedusha Rishona. Now, the Kedusha Shnei lasts longer than Kedusha Rishona. And the question is, why, what's the logical explanation for why the Kedusha Shnei should last longer than the Kedusha Rishona? And here, I will just add one thing. There's a Tmiyadik Perish in the Rishonim on Yibam Estaf Pei Beis, which I think he might have said this Perish in order to answer this question. What Tmiyadik Perish do I mean? Rabbi Nochanan, look in Tos Pei Beis and Pei Beis, Yerush Rishonim Shnei Yesh Lehen. What do we mean by Yerush Rishona and Shnia? Here's the Makor. What's the Makor for being Mechalik between Yerush Rishona and Shnia? Right? What is the Chiluk Bein Yerusha Rishona Vishnia? There's only one Makor in Shas that makes that Chiluk. Yevamos Pei Beis and Beis. I mean, it's according to Seder Olam, right? Yevamos Pei Beis and Beis. What is Yerusha Rishona? When was Yerusha Rishona?
According to
time. What? According to everyone in the world?
Olei Mitzrayim.
Olei Mitzrayim, right? Olei Mitzrayim, or we could call it Yom Shua, right? If we want to associate a figurehead. When was Kedusha Shnia? Olei Bavel. And if we want to associate a figurehead, we can call it Ezra. This is everyone in the world's pshat, except for only one person who we have in our, written down in our Masorah. I don't know what people hold who opinions weren't written down in books. Only one person whose opinions written down in our Masorah interprets differently. Who interprets differently? What does Rabbeinu Hananel say? 1 second. Tosfos says, Pirush Rabbeinu Hananel, Rishona Yerush Avram Yisav Yaakov, Shnia Yerush Yoshua Rishon Ve'ela Kitchel Yolam. Rishona is Avraham Yitzchak. If you mind saving space. Rishona is the Avos. Shnia is Yoshua. As what he says is that you think there's a difference between Yoshua, Olam Yisrael, and Olam Bavel? No. That's not what this Gemara means at all. What this Gemara means is the difference in the Avos and Olam Mitzrayim. Tosos then asks only the tip of the iceberg of the Kashas. What? How does this tie into all the rest of Shas when they discuss Olam Mitzrayim and Olam Bavel? The Rabbeinu Hananel will have to say this is a different opinion than everywhere else in Shas. And maybe you misunderstood everywhere else in Shas. It's a whole avoda to be Yashir Rabbeinu Hananel with the rest of Shas, which can be done bedochak, right? Because basically he's coming out saying that the Kedusha Shnia is Olam Mitzrayim, is what other people call Kedusha Rishona and other sugyas. Why does Rabbeinu Hananel say such a crazy perush? He knows he has Olam Mitzrayim and Olam Bavel all over Shas. He knows in our Gemara it says Olam Mitzrayim and then Olam Bavel, but the Kedusha Rishona doesn't forever. Doesn't last forever, implying that Olam Mitzrayim is Kedusha Rishona. He knows he's not Shad of all of Shas. Why would Rabbeinu Hananel say such a Tmiyadik Perush?
That needs to be more fundamental chiluk between...
Exactly! I can't prove that, but that's what I think. I think the reason he said a Tmiyadik Perush, and it's not that you can't defend him. You can defend him, the Dochak. The reason he said a Tmiyadik Perush is maybe... What's his incentive? The incentive of everyone else is very clear. That's Pashup shot, it fits, it's a simple shot. Maybe his incentive is to explain the chiluk between Rishona and Shnia, if someone were to ask. And then he says, what do you mean Yorshu Abasecha Virishta? It means the people alive at the time of the Chumash. Moshe was talking to people alive at the time of the Chumash, and from their perspective, Yorshu Abasecha is the Avos. Virishta, the second time, is you guys who are alive at the time of the Chumash. Everyone else said it's referring to their descendants who would be alive after Kisavo comes true. And then Avosecha is the people alive then, and Virishta is their descendants who would be alive in the future. He said, no, Avosecha is the Avos, Virishta is the people who Moshe Rabbeinu was talking to,
And Kiddush Shnia is Yoshua. What's the incentive for Rabbeinu Hanano? I think the incentive for Rabbeinu Hanano is very clear. Why should the Shnia last forever, not the Rishona? Well, according to his pshat, it's so obvious. Like, how many ways are there in which the Yerusha Shnia was so much more significant than the Kiddush Rishona, according to Rabbeinu Hanano? And you don't even need to list them, right? Like, for example, what if you made the Yerusha Shnia better than Rishona, according to Rabbeinu Hanano? What? They built a Beis HaMikdash in the end. Even before that, they were an Am, right? They weren't a family, they were a nation, right? They actually had a Medina, they were a nation. Not only that, what did they have that we consider very significant? The Torah, right? They had the Torah. The Avos, okay, they had some spiritual insight, right? To be Makai and various things. But they had Matan Torah, they had, you know, the Vatem Chilim Alechitz Konim Goy Kadosh, right? Vatem Chilim Alechitz Konim Goy Kadosh, right? Lil Kim. They were the Jewish people. The others weren't the Jewish people. They were the ancestors. It's obvious why the Avos are not going to make permanent Kedusha. Because they're not the Jewish people. Yoshua is the Jewish people. It makes a lot of sense for Rabbeinu Hanano.
Also another. The Avos left. They went to Mitzrayim. No matter what you say, there were always Jews in Eretz Israel afterwards. Not a lot, but there were always.
Okay, that's a good Ha'ara. The Avos also left and didn't even leave one person behind. While there was always one person left behind in Eretz Yisrael, the Rambam, we have a Masorah about that, and it makes sense anyway. Okay, that is, so then, if we just turn the tables a little, let's turn the tables a little. Why is Shnia better than Rishona? So one answer is, Rabbeinu Hanano, this is the Avos, this is Yehoshua, this is an Am, etc. There's so many reasons why that was stronger than the Avos. However, no one agrees with Rabbeinu Hanano. Everyone says the first time was Yehoshua, the second time was Ezra. Taka to us, you read the Tanakh, and Yehoshua is much more impressive. The Yerusha Volim Tzrayim is much more impressive than Yerusha Volim Vavel. Right, only Volosav, Komer Volosian. And Moshe Shechina. I mean, from every perspective, from a military perspective, Yeshua conquered and they didn't. From a political perspective, Yeshua had sovereignty, they didn't. From a religious perspective, you had Hashras Hashchina. And in the second base of Majors, you didn't have Hashras Hashchina. No matter how you look at it, you know, the first time around was better. Hold that thought. So, you might wonder what made the second time better than the first. Who is the classic Rishon who is bothered by this question? The Rambam. This is a very famous Rambam. We already read it, Bekitzur, in the Rambam Hilchos Trumos, but let's read it at greater length. The Rambam Beis HaBechira says, Yodalit, Kol Makom Shlonasu. This is obviously an Agam Orcha for Beis HaBechira. It says, Kol Makom Shlonasu, Kol Eilok Seder Zayin Kodesh Gomer. Any time you don't do the full ritual, which is described in Mishnayis, Masechta Shavuos, you might recall, with the Melech and the Kohen Gadol, the Urim V'Tumim, etc., then you can't be Mekadosh and Mikdosh in Yerushalayim. Zesha Azar Ezra Shtei Todos, the Karnu Shasa, Lo Maisa Miskadosh and Makam Shloi, Yisham Lo Melech and Urim V'Tumim. When Ezra was Mekadosh and Mikdosh, it didn't really work, so he was missing the Melech and Urim V'Tumim, Zemach Lok Tanam Shavuos, and it was really just a Zecher, Menes Kadosh, and Kedush Rishonah, she gets a Shlomo, she gets a Yerushalayim, the Shadim, Kedush Lossad Lavo. The Kedush that makes a Mikdosh comes from Kedush Rishonah, Shlomo. Lefikach, he says, Makrivnik brothers, Kulanaf, Shin Shabbais Bonoi, for Oakland Kachim Kachim, Kala Zarf, Shu Kareva, the Imukam Machita, Oakland Kachim Kalam, I Shane, Kol Yushalayim, Alfi Shin Shab Chomos, Shakdush, Rishona Kitchel Shaita, the Kitchel Lost Level. That's very clear. There's a big, big, big discussion in the Achronim whether the Rambam literally means we could bring Karbonis with Zmanazeh. There are some steeros, but that's not our sticky now. Testine, Velomani Omer, the Mikdish Rishalayim, Kitchel Rishona Kitchel Lost Level. Why do I say like Rove Rishonim against the Kurov of the Itter? That when Mikdash and Yerushalayim, the Kedusha Rishonah lasted forever. But if Kedusha Shire Eretz Yisrael and Yishviyas to Maiso to Kayota and Lo Kitch Lasa Lavo, the Kedusha Rishonah of Eretz Yisrael did not last forever. Alephisha Kedusha, Mikdash and Yerushalayim, they are Shechina, Shechina and Ibatela, Mikdash Yerushalayim is Shechina. That cannot be undone. Eretz Yisrael is not Mishama Shechina. That's Mishama the Jews who aren't from the Kaddish and do mitzvos. Bari Omer, sorry, Vashimosi, Vikta Sheikhem, Yom Racham, Alephisha Shmum, Kedushashan and Omdin. There's a drasha that even when they're Shmumin, they're still called a mikdash, a sol kedoshim. Avochim arts v'shius v'maisus in the ilm teishu kibush rabin. This is the Gemara. The Gemara says that the machlokas or the kibush yachid counts as kibush or not. What's the nafkamina? Or whether kibush yachid gives kedusha? Surya, which has been privately conquered. And we paskin that kibush yachid is not shmin kibush. Surya is not midaraisa. and only Kibush Rabim. So he says, what gave Kedushas Haaretz? Kibush Rabim. What gave Kedusha Mikdash? Shechina. What gave Kedusha Haaretz? Kibush Rabim. Shechina, you can't be Mevatel. That's God. Kibush, we know you can be Mevatel. Lo, read any history book, and every Kibush is Mevatel eventually. Right? Mekevich Nilchart Mekdeim, Batel Kibush. Once we lost the land to the Bavliim, to Nebuchadnezzar, the Kibush is Batel. But Nifter Manatori Meisus and Mishvias. And it's Patel Meisus and Shvias. Shari Einam and Eretz Yisrael, and it no longer counts as Eretz Yisrael. The cave inshallah Ezra Vikitcha, when Ezra came back and gave the Kedusha Shania, now the Rambam was bothered. Fine, I explained to you why Kedusha Rishon of the Eretz is gone to the Kibush of his Batel. Why is the Kedusha Shania still here? It says, when Ezra came back, lo Kedusha Kibush, Ezra didn't use Kibush. Elo Bechazaka Shechzikuba. Ezra was machzik in the land. He settled the land. Lefika Kamakh Shechzikuba Olin Bobos, Kadish Kedusha Ezra Shania, Kedusha Yom. Whatever is Ezra's Kedusha Shania, Chazaka, lasts forever. Even though it was taken away, the Chayiv Shvius of Maisel, Der Shvius of Truma, is Chayiv Shvius of Maisel, like we explained in Hilas Truma. Here is a big message. It's not a sign now. The Rambam sounds like the Chayiv and Trumas in Shvius of Maisel nowadays. Midoraisa. If you actually look what he says in Hilas Truma, he says it's Rabbana, and there's big Stiras, and there's big Lamdas, and there's Rav Chaim's. Not, and all of this has an afamina for Hector Mechira, right? Because if it's Doraisa, you can't do Hector Mechira. If it's Rabbana, maybe you can. But that's not our sugya. Now, what does the Rambam say, though? How does the Rambam... Sorry, gotta get a better color. How does the Rambam answer this question? The Rambam's bothered. What's the difference between Rishon and Shnia? What is his answer? Kibush. And that was Nisbatel versus Chazaka. What are the two logical problems in the Rambam? One big problem and one really big problem. A kibush sounds better than chazaka. Okay, that's not a logical problem. Sounds all right. Say better.
Chazaka is better
than Rishon. So exactly, those are the two questions of the Kesef Mishnah, right? Trade color perhaps lo mishtamai if it's not yachaviv to you. But the Kesef Mishnah asks Simcha and Tzvi's kasha right here. We call mokel. Masha kasev rabbi no valkiv arts pshus and maishu and they should kibush rabbi and kibush shel karsh bidei and bakla kibush v'chule kibush ala ezra v'kitch lo kitchem kibush ala chazak shizda v'chule half the kesef mishnah just quoting any odeya. I don't understand two kashas on the rabbi. A ma koch chazaka god mikoch kibush v'lom lo nemer v'chazaka gam shein kain mishnah nil karsh bidei and bakla chazaka. What are the two problems with the Rambam? Two kashas of the Rambam. A, if kibush can be mitzbatel, why can't chazaka be batel, right? After all, it was unkibushed, it was also unmuchzak, right? We conquered the land, and then Nebuchadnezzar conquered it. Fine, we took hold of the land and settled the land, and then the Romans kicked us out, and then other people settled the land, and then the Palestinians came and settled the land. So why can't they mevatel chazak the same way you mevatel kibush? B, the real tough question. Vesu, barishonish has got to be kibush. Kilo hayisham chazaka, atami yadim chazak lo kibush, chazaka in kibush. Certainly, Ion, that's a real doozy. How can the part be greater than the whole, right? The first time, what does it mean the first time is kibush? What, Yeshua conquered the land and didn't settle it? Like, what do you mean? He's like the Romans, they conquered someplace, he said, now pay us taxes, but we're going home because we have to visit our wife and kids. No, he conquered the land and was machzik in the land. Like, that's where they all lived for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. So, how can chazaka, it's just against the elementary rules of logic, how can chazaka be better than chazaka plus kibush? Yeshua had both. How can one thing be better than that thing plus something else? Right? It seems to be against most elementary rules of logic. Those are the Kesemishas, two kashas, and this is what gave Parnassa to hundreds of Achronim over the generations to try and figure out how to be Miyashay, the Rambam, and how to explain this phenomenon. Now, alright, maybe not Parnassa, but Schar. If not Parnassa, Schar. So, how do you answer the Rambam? Anyone want to try answering up the Rambam? Yogi.
I don't know if this is the Rambam, but it's possible to say that the Oli Mitzrayim and the Kibush of Yehoshua, it's all B'derech Nes. And the Keshvarka made it happen, and things which are B'derech Nes, they don't necessarily have Kiyum in Olam Hazeh. But when the Oli Babel came back with their Ishtadlus and their Tircha,
I think that is a beautiful, beautiful idea. I haven't found it in most of the Yachronim. The Rav is sort of merames to this, not in his famous treatment of this in the Ala Tshuva, but in his second most famous treatment of this in the Shirim L'Zechem Ovri Morizal, where he says, well, you compare Yoshua to like Torah Shebichsav, where Hashem does everything supernaturally, and you compare Ezra to Torah Shebalpeh, where like you have to bring it within yourself. So he doesn't say exactly what you said, but I think that's because he's really just trying to explain the difference between laning on Shabbos and on weekdays. But I think that that's sort of bechlal, the remez of Devarav, that maybe you could say, right, what's pshat? So maybe you could say, what's pshat in Kibush and Chazaka? You know, a lot of these things, whether you're sticking with the Rambam or not, you know, yesh ladon. But, you know, but we'll call it 2.1. It's a possible pshat in the Rambam. Yesh ladon, even if it's not a pshat in the Rambam, it could be true, right? So anything, whether or not it's pshat in the Rambam, could be true. But you could say that's what he needs. Kibush means, right? Kibush means that it was the initiative of Hashem b'derech nis. You know, it was handed to us on a silver platter. Right? They blow a shofar, the walls will fall down. Right? I know it wasn't quite so simple. But lemaisa, you know, everyone knows, right? Everyone knows that if you want to really make a kesher, if you want to make a kesher between someone and something, if you give it to them easily, they won't have a real kesher with it. Right? If I give it to someone easily, they won't have a real kesher. Someone has to work for something and care about it, then they'll have a real kesher with it. And maybe that's what Yoni's trying to say. LP, Mutzer, psychology, insight, whatever you call it. Right? That whether or not this shot of the Rambam, something Hashem gives you, b'derech nes, that, you know, it wasn't your own work. It wasn't your own work. It was Hashem. It was too easy. And therefore, you didn't do enough hishtadlos. Without hishtadlos, what kind of kesher do you have to it? Kesher is mani, l'shaita. But over here, it was b'derech hateva through hishtadlos. And, you know, that's the chazak. I mean, it was harder for them. It was that.
And not only the conquering on the land, also going to the land. Oh,
the going.
Because Baruch Hu took them with
exactly. Meaning, you know, when you have to look inside yourself and find the initiative within yourself and do the hard work and overcome all the obstacles, then it's more meaningful to you. And then maybe that creates a kesher nitzchi. So whether or not it's Shalom the Ramba, maybe you could say, maybe the Rosh Rami's to this, that the first time around it was we got too much help from Hashem, we had training wheels. The second time around, there were no training wheels, and then we really made a kesher nitzchi and a kinyan olam in the land. You make a kinyan olam not based on how much you get, but based on how hard you work. A real kinyan comes out of how hard you work, not how much someone gives you.
So it's a different type of pasuk. I'm sorry. No. It's a different type of pasuk than the old we call it turkulam, because you can even stop the type of pasuk.
What? So what he's saying is that maybe it ties into kibush and chazaka. It's not mamish because of kibush and chazaka. Kibush means that you did it one way without as much hishtadlos. Chazaka means you had to work much harder for it. It was much more difficult for you. And therefore, you're right, it's like, it ties into the Rambam. I wouldn't say it's the smoothest shot in the Rambam, but it might be true anyway.
Not necessarily a shot to answer one question, but in terms of the second question, the fact that they had a chazaka after kibush, it doesn't necessarily strengthen the kedusha. They were Kaddish the land through kibush. They have them chazaka.
Correct. That's what a lot of Achronim answer. A lot of Achronim answer is the Nachnam Sofer, the Chidah, others. They say, everyone knows that, right? What does the Gemara say in the first paragraph of Amitzia? We're going to learn next year, right? Benefila nichalei delikni, v'dal ramos lo nichalei delikni. That if you do a Maisa Kinyan, only if you have in mind that this should be the Kinyan, it works. If you do a Maisa Kinyan, but you don't have in mind to be Kona that way, then it's not relevant halachically. So it could be you can answer the question by saying, no, since their Kavana was for the Kibush, and the Chazak only happened later, that Chazak was l'malim l'morei, because it wasn't done as a Maisa Kinyan. So I admit you could say that. You'd still have to explain why Chazak is better than Kinyan.
Just wanted to strengthen that shot, that the first Kavos of Torah was Derech HaNeis, and therefore the second one, Kibu was Derech HaTeva, not the other one.
Exactly, right? And you see how long that lasted and how long this lasted. That's exactly, it's still lasting.
That's also those exact two same historical
tzkufis. Right, right. Which is very nice.
Right. Okay. Beautiful. The Rav, I'll point out, since we are in YU here, in Alachui is another pshat, which he says is pshat in the Rambam. I can't for the life of me figure out how to fit this into the Rambam. But could be anyway. The Rav in Alachuva says, he claims this is what the Rambam means, like Kibush and Chazakah. I don't know, maybe not. Okay. But he ties into the earlier Rambam. Remember, Shechina can't be batel? Mikdash can't be batel. What's the relationship between Kedush and Kedush Saaretz in each time period? Only Mitzrayim. What was the relationship between Kedush Saaretz and Kedush Mikdash?
First Kedush Saaretz.
And then, 400 years later, Rami the Aretz was Lachor. And then later on, a couple after we wrote, two or three more Sfarim Tanakh, then came the Mikdash. So here he says that what happened the first time around? The first time around was Kedushas Haaretz. Was not Mikoach Kedushas HaMikdash. It was Mikoach Kibush. You know, Kibush is about all that, this worldly things. I don't mean it was secular, I just mean it was this worldly. That was this worldly things. Chashon wasn't a secular Medina, but it was a regular country with people living there and doing their regular things. So that could be Nisbatel. The second time around, what happened? Why did they go to Israel? Did they go to Israel to make a state? Why did they go to Israel, Shivat Zion, Hatzarat Koresh, etc.? To build a Mikdash, right? To build a Mikdash. They went to build a Mikdash. They went carrying. They didn't go with guns or spades or hoes or anything. What did they carry with them when they went? The kiln they submitted. They took it out of the treasury that were there from the time of Nebuchadnezzar. Right? Over here, the second time around, don't ask me how that fits into the word Chazakah. The Rav apparently thought that was too obvious to explain, but the Kedushas Haaretz flowed from the Kedushas Mikdash, because what did they do? They went and built a Mikdash. Then once there was a Mikdash, then everyone wants to live near the Mikdash, so we should make a Jewish community and make a state there. But it was two reverse processes. One had first a Kibush, a Jewish state. And then they made a Mikdash, okay, the second one was, no, there's a Mikdash, and they extended the Kedushas HaMikdash to the whole Aretz, slowly, bit by bit, and when the whole Kedushas Aretz is based on the Mikdash, then Kedushas HaMikdash can't be batel, Shechina in the Betela.
But they weren't able to build the Mikdash right away. They were held back.
No, they but when they did.
But isn't that...
No, but they did that first.
Only Mitzrayim went up to Eretz Yisrael also. I mean,
no, but first they made a whole state in a bunch of years. Here, they were working on the Mikdash the whole time. From day one, they were building the Mikdash. Just, they had a Tzav Mani'ah for a little while. And then, if you look at all the politics there, also nothing has changed.
Right.
You know what happened? They had a Tzav Mani'ah, and then they started building again, and the Pakach came and said, what's going on? They said, what do you mean? Here's our Rishayon. Hoping he wouldn't notice the Tzav Mani'ah, and Hashem made a miracle, the Derech HaTeva, and he went back and searched in the computer, and the Tzav Mani'ah didn't come up, and that's how they built the Mikdash. So it just goes to show that all these shtiklach have Masorah in Jewish history. It wasn't really a computer, but then it was also more of a miracle that they got it wrong. So that's the Rav's answer in Alachuba. Another minute. The Tosfos Yomtov has a famous answer. There are a million answers to the Achronim I'm admitting right now. Many of them are very, very technical, get into Choshen Mishpat things. Not deal with it as much. The Tosfos Yomtov is a wild shot which makes everyone unhappy who's not a Zeh. Everyone who celebrates Yom HaTzmaut unhappy who's not a Zeh. But, okay, whether or not something makes you unhappy doesn't change whether or not it's an actual pshat. The Tosfos Yomtov says, what's pshat in the Rambam? He says very... it's on the Makorah sheet, in Yodayim. Right? Wherever I wrote the Makoshi. Adiel, sorry. It's Agar Orcha and Adiel by the Kedusha of the Mikdash. And then he comes on to the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Right, it's not where you think it would be. Tosfos Yontif says, what does he say Pshat is? He says, what's the difference between Kibush and Chazakah? After all, says, why would Kibush be different? Why is Chazakah better than Kibush? Why is Kibush Batal and Chazakah not? And after all, why can't Kibush and Chazakah be at least as good as Chazakah? He says, very, very Pashat. He says there's a fundamental difference in Kibush and Chazakah. Kibush and Chazakah. Let's imagine there was a certain plot of land. This probably gets begotten every day nowadays. Right, I have a certain plot of land in Brooklyn. What do? I conquer it from the previous owners. Then what does Nebuchadnezzar does? He conquers it from me. What's the nature, how good of a time do I have? I don't have a very good tanya, because if I conquered something, someone conquered it for me. So what tanya do I have, right? My zechus is batel. Now, what if I was kovish and I was also machzik in the land? Does that improve my tanya? No, because if I only got it through kibush, then it doesn't matter that I was machzik. I still only have a tanya up the wall of the jungle, and if someone else is kovish for me, I have no tanya anymore. But what happened the second time around? The second time around, how did the Jews get the land? Did they conquer it? No, they got it. Kedasu kedin, right? Mi dinan malchus adina. Right? Mi malchus. Koresh gave them the land. Second time around, they got it legally. Ah, if I get the land legally and someone conquers it for me, do I have a taina? Yes, I mean, I might not practically be able to implement that taina because I'm weak, but I have a kesher of the land. What do you mean? I have proper shtar, I have a proper kinyan. Just because someone took it from me doesn't take away my Yerusha. And that's what the Yotzer says. This was Yerusha Biderech. Yerusha Bekoach. Yerusha Bekoach can be Batel Bekoach. This was, what does Chazaka mean? Yerusha Kedin. Peacefully Kedin. That's Chazaka. It's not the Chazaka is better. It's that not having the Kibush is better. Right? The Chazaka with the Kibush is better. And therefore, cannot be Nisbatel Bekoach. The Romans can't take away Yerusha Shnia because we had a Kedin. But Yerusha Rishona, we had a Bekoach, so it could be taken away.
What about the first Rashi
on Chumash? Tosfos asked that question on himself. And it's the answer that I should really be giving an hour Musar Shmuz in the other deal about the answer to this question instead of this Lomdish Sugya, because it's a very, very important Nafkamina and Halach Lamaisa. Tosfos Yontif gives an answer which is challenges, I think, everyone in this room. What about the first Rashi on Chumash? So he asked that question himself, Alaha, right there, in the same paragraph. He says, oh, what do you mean? Didn't we get an atana from Hashem, the first Rashi and Chumash, not Bekoach? We're not God's one, and that's all. Point that it's not just the first Rashi and Chumash, it's just ABCs of the Torah. And we got it from Hashem, and Hashem owns the world. So he says, no, the problem. We can't rely on getting it from Hashem because that was a matana al Tanai. What was the Tanai?
Keep the Torah.
No, then we keep the Torah. Well, read the Chumash. What does the Chumash say? Chumash says, we have our part of the bargain, we have to keep the Torah. The problem was that same, even though Hashem gave it to us, since we didn't keep the Torah, he took away that matana, and then we have nothing to, we can't rely on that anymore. That's a very interesting challenge that, you know, part of being dedicated to Eretz Yisrael is trying to make sure we keep that tonight. Okay, I ran out of it's a little late, although I didn't tell you the truth yet.
Well, didn't Koresh only have the land because he was Koresh?
That is a fascinating question on the Tosfos Yontif. What good does it do that we got it al Pidin if he got it al Pidin from someone who was Koresh, from someone who was Koresh, from someone who was Koresh?
Well,
right? That's a fascinating question. And that's, of course, the Nafkamina, if you're going to talk about Yom HaTzma'ut, is it a violation of the Gimel Shvuos, right, to receive a land al Pidin from someone who conquered it b'koach? Right? That's a big enough community of Ismanas there. Right? That's the whole issue of the San Reno conference and the Avnei Mezer and the Meshe Chachma against the Sappers. And the Lubavitchers at that time, if you know any Jewish history. you know, does that count as, you know, as Bedin if we got it from someone else who conquered it from the Ottomans? And Lahore, we hold it does. But I think the difference is it's not really a legal issue. It might be more of a philosophical existential issue. If you get something b'koach, if you get something through chama, that has a certain temporariness with it. Now, I'm not a pacifist here. The Tosfos Yontif is not a pacifist. A pacifist is someone who holds you shouldn't have milchama. Right? No, that would be kfir and Taurus Moshe. It says you have milchama against Shiva Umos. He's not a pacifist. Pacifist someone says you shouldn't have milchama. He is a normal person. A normal person says you should have milchama, and it's much better in some circumstances than not having milchama, but it's still not as good as not needing milchama in the first place. Right? The ideal is to not need milchama. If you need milchama, it's better to have it. He's not a leftist. But it's better to not need milchama. And I think that maybe the point is existentially, if you get something b'koach, that creates a certain temporariness. If you get something b'shadar k'shalom, even if the title might have passed two generations ago b'koach, your achiza on it, existentially, philosophically, is an achiza b'darkei shalom, and therefore it's more of an achiza. I think that's what we have to say. It's not regular genie mumbo, it's existential philosophical. I just have to tell you one thing, one ha'ara that R' Chaim made. Rav Chaim made, it's also most famous, the Brisker of Ala Torah, quote unquote, in Zechariah, in the end he threw in some Nach, but it's found much greater length with true Gevaldic Rayas from Surya, but you need a lot of Cheshbonos to get those Rayas, so I'm not going to see them over now, it's already late. But he pointed out that to understand the Rambam, I might even add something to him, to understand the Rambam, you need to ask a third kasha on the Rambam, which no one ever bothered to ask in the whole history of all of life, except for one or two people until Rav Chaim. What's the Rambam's mukr and chazal for kibush and chazaka? Where did he come up with this idea? Mehechi Tesi, he came up with this idea. Did he just make it up? Obvious ideas he might have made up. It's such a difficult idea. Why do you think he made it up? Maybe he had a mukr. And once you do that, everything changes. Rav Chaim pointed out. He's not the first one, but he's the first one of the people, mafurish that people learn nowadays. The Rambam is a mafurish Rishalmi. He didn't make anything up. He's a mafurish Rishalmi. Once you understand the Rambam is a mafurish Rishalmi, already then it changes things. What does Rishalmi say? He gets biyasim Ezra. It's machlokus in the Rishalmi, which we can't get into now, whether b'zman hazeh, true as meisters doraisa or not. I apologize. He gets biyasim Ezra, biyasim Yeshua. Anyone who doesn't want to know the truth can leave. Ma biyasim Yeshua of turn ha'yim neschayvu. Biyasim Ezra of turn ha'yim neschayvu. Man neschayvu. Biyosef hani amid var Torah neschayvu. That's the Rambam. The second time is a real chiyuv doraisa. No, it's a real Kedusha Shniyah. The second time is better than the first time. What makes the second time better than the first time? What makes the second time better? The first time, they couldn't give Kedusha without getting rid of the old Malchus. The second time, they were able to give Kedusha even with Ol Malchus. And like it says, the first time, basically, they needed to get rid of Ol Malchus, they needed Shevesha Kibshu, Shevesha Chilku, they needed the whole land. The second time is better. You're better off the second time. Any guy who came and bought a field automatically gave it Kedusha. What does Rav Chaim point out the Rambam saying? And again, I might add one detail to Rav Chaim, you can see it. He points out that it's not that Chazaka is better than Kibush. That's not the chap. The chap that the first time needed kibush. So it was totally on the kibush. The second time didn't need kibush. It was automatic kedusha. And that's what Rav Chaim explains. Eli might be adding one twist just to clarify things more. He says, what does Rav Chaim say? That the first time, it's gzeiras hakasuv. Gzeiras hakasuv, the first time you need kibush. What's the gzeiras hakasuv? Ve'tivcha ve'hirmecha. The first time is not as tov, the second time is more tov. The first time is katan, second time is gadol. Right? The first time there's a gzeiras hakasuv, you needed kibush. So if you needed kibush, I'll be gzeiras hakasuv, then you lose the kibush, you lose it. The second time was gzeiras hakasuv, that second is better, and that there's kedusha memela, even without kibush. It's not that chazaka is a better mekadosh than kibush. No, kibush is a stronger maaser than chazaka. But it's that the first time, Hashem said, you go in once, you need a really big maaser mekadosh. And if you lose that big maaser mekadosh, you lose it. Hashem said, you go in the second time, here's kedusha memela automatically, without a maaser mekadosh. All right, there's kedusha memela automatically, then it'll never leave. He flipped the Rambam on its head. But it's much worse to flip the Rambam on its head, or compared to what other people understand the Rambam. Everyone always tries to explain, why is Chazaka better than Kibush? Rav Chaim explains, and I am adding a little, it's not that Chazaka is better than Kibush. Kibush is better than Chazaka. It's that the first time, the Kedusha needs a lot of work. Because you know, the first time, it's really hard to Mekadosh something. And the Kedusha is so hard to give the first time that you could lose it. The second time, the Kedusha is Memela. There's like Xeris Akasa, the second Kedusha is Memela without Kibush. The second time the Kedusha is Memela, then it's never Nisbatel. Only the first time is Abba Tluya B'Davar. The first Kedusha is Tluya B'Kibush. So it can be Batel. The second Kedusha is not totally in anything. What does Chazaka mean? Chazaka means being there. That's exactly what Yerushalmi. It's not totally in anything. You don't need Kibush, you don't need Chiluk, you don't need to be free from Shivat Malchios, you don't need anything. It's Kedusha Memela. So it's Pasha. Kedusha al pi maisa is batal when the maisa is batal. Kedusha b'meila is never batal, and that's what the Rambam meant. The Rambam didn't mean chazaka is better. The Rambam meant the second time better because the kedusha comes b'meila, and the kedusha b'meila is not misbatal, and that's pshat in the Seder Olam. Right? No one yet raised their hand and said, why can't we read Pshat and Seder Olam? Pshat and Seder Olam, what makes the second time better? Because the Torah says the second time is better. Right? Not because they did something better the second time. Right? If this was written before anything happened, even though Hashem knows the future. Pshat and Seder Olam, the second time is better because Xeris Agassim, the second time is better. And that's what the Rambam meant. The second time is better because Xeris Agassim, second time is Kedusha Mamela, first time is Kedusha Agde Kibush. The first Kedusha is the Maisa. The second Kedusha comes from Mela, and I'll end at the risk of going 40 more seconds with something Reb Chaim would not have said because more of Derek Rush, but I think something that's very pashut. Why would it make sense for this Zeres HaKasim to be here? That the first time you need a strong Maisa Mekadish, and you need a strong Kibush, but the second time the Kedusha comes from Mela? So I think the answer is very, very pashut. What makes a second Kedusha really strong in their first Kedusha? Ask any, forget the Rambam, forget the Gemara. Ask anyone what makes the second time more impressive than the first time. What would they answer you? Why did the Jews go to Israel the first time? Why did the Jews go to Israel the first time? Right, it's a little what Yomi was saying. What?
God told us to.
God told us to, even more so. Like, what was our other option?
Stay
Zabadim in Mitzrayim, or to wander in the Sinai desert. Basically, why did they go the first time? Because Mela, they were set up to go the first time. They didn't have another option. Right? And wouldn't you go someplace good the first time? Someone offered you a nice place, wouldn't you go there? There's no kunsting going the first time. The first time, what was their relationship to the land of Israel? A normal relationship of kibush and military and political and conquest and United Nations. And, you know, but that's fine. So as long as they have kibush, fine. When they don't, they don't. What would any historian have said would happen after Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar exiled them to Babel. How well did they do in Babel? Anyone? Yeah, Babel, right? Babel was not Kishinev. Babel was Tinek, right? They had nice houses, they had vineyards, they were high in the government. Right? They did well in Babel. What would any normal person have predicted would happen? They would assimilate into Babel, and in the end, within the Babylonian culture, would acquire Jewish elements, and they would eat bagels and celebrate Hanukkah together with their religion and culture. Right? And it didn't happen that way. Right? It almost did. It was this close, and halavai, we should have been a little better, kayadua. But what happened? The Jews went back a second time. Why did the Jews go back a second time? Were they richer in Eretz Yisrael than they were in Babel? Adrava v'adrava, right? This wasn't like people going from Englewood to Ranana. This is like the people going from Brooklyn to drain the swamps and get malaria, 50 years ago. Bekoshi, it was like that, right? Why did they go to Eretz Yisrael? Was it better in Eretz Yisrael? Was it a good place to go? No, they were very happy in Tinek. They went to Eretz Yisrael for one reason and one reason only. Because it was their homeland. Because it was their homeland. Because the Jews belong in Eretz Yisrael. What's the difference between Kedusha Rishona and Kedusha Shnia? Yerusha Rishona, you go into someplace once because it's a nice place. And if you then find another nice place, you would never go back. Do you know any Ashkenazi Jews who want to go back to Poland? I don't know. Why do you want to go back to? You know Sephardic Jews who want to go back to Spain? No, it was a nice place while it lasted, and now it's not such a nice place anymore. Right? No one wants to go back. Yerusha Rishona doesn't prove anything. Yerusha Shnia, why would anyone go back someplace? They go back someplace because they have a Kesher Nitzvi, because it's their eternal homeland. Once the Jews go back a second time, what is that Igloi Milsa? When they go back a second time, what's the Igloi Milsa? The Igloi Milsa is that it's a Yerusha Mamela, that it's a Kadosh Mamela. The Igloi Milsa is that you can never kick Jews out of Israel. After all, if you kick them out once, they come back. They kick you out twice, won't work any better, they'll come back also, right? And no matter how many times you kick them out, they'll come back. Because they've shown that it's not a matter of convenience and normal Jew and normal human history and Derech HaTeva. They've shown they were kept in its clean of the land of Israel. So I think maybe you can add to the truth shot of the Rambam, the Derech Drush perhaps, either Derech Hedber or Derech Drush, that the real shot of the Rambam is Yerusha Rishona was normal vicissitudes of human history. Kibush comes, Kibush goes, that's life. Yerusha Shnia, once they came back a second time, that means that they declared and demonstrated there's a Kesher Nitzchi between Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. That means our eternal homeland. That means nothing keeps us away from Israel. Once nothing keeps us away from Israel, it's kadosh memela. It's not al tanai. You don't need any special meisim. It's memela, the eternal Yerusha, the Jewish people, and that's why Yerusha Shnia Yeshlem and Yerusha Shlishis is not necessary. And what's very fascinating is that this has really been proved correct. That, you know, if the historians would not have predicted that the Jews go back from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, for sure the historians would not have predicted that we'd be sitting here today. And obviously part of the reason we're sitting here today is, the main reason we're sitting here today is through a lot of Chesed of Hashem, which is in Yonah Diyoma. But, you know, Chesed of Hashem always needs a little Sarusa, a little Tata. The reason we're sitting here today is because the part was true. We came back the second time, you know, they kicked us out. So it took 1900 years, but we kept saying every day, right? Right? We never forgot about Eretz Yisrael. We always remembered that we belong, the Shana Bab Yishalayim, till the right time came about and the gates of Chesed were open and we're actually able to come back after 1900 years and prove that this word is in fact true. That the Kesher between Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael is a Kesher Nitzchi. This is not just a place of convenience of normal people living in a normal place, but this is our eternal homeland in a way which is deeper than any historian would have been able to predict. And that's why we still have Eretz Yisrael, is still our Yerusha, and still the Eretz HaKodesh, the Eretz of the Kedusha, the Jewish people, Ad Hayom Hazeh.